Hello everyone, this is Michael Dunlop from Income Diary, and today I have a great guest called Tim Schmidt, and I first met him a few years ago back in America when my dad invited me to come to his mastermind meeting with Yannick Silva and the crew. And I was really interested in what he's doing. He's always kept me watching when he does his presentation, and so I've invited him here today to share some of his information. Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be here. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Brilliant. All right, I'll jump right in there and mention what you're doing. You've got a website called United States Concealed Carrier Association, which you describe as the ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Can you please explain how you got into this niche?
Oh my gosh, we'll be here all day if I have to tell you the whole story. Really, for me, the niche came about after I started having kids, and I just felt this need to be able to protect them. And at the time, I owned this engineering business, Michael, and it was a decent business, way to make a living. But I was working myself to death, in America, it's very common for citizens to be armed. I mean, we're talking the good guys, of course. And I saw this huge gaping hole in the market, and that nobody was addressing the needs of people that wanted to be armed citizens. So I thought, hey man, this is my calling.
Brilliant. And how did you take your calling to online marketing and start making money from it?
Well, I'd like to tell you that I just studied for 3 days and learned everything, and then just did it and was an instant millionaire. But of course, the real story was nothing like that. it was brutal. I actually, I'm sure, everybody hears stories about, I did everything wrong. Well, I truly did everything wrong. I started this association not as an association, but as a print magazine. And let me tell you, the fastest way to become a millionaire is to start publishing a print magazine with $2 million. You'll burn through that first million really fast. So I started the magazine by itself, and not only did that business not make any money, but it literally almost destroyed my engineering business because it was sucking all the cash out of it.
Yeah.
And not until I actually transformed the magazine into an association and an online business that's when it actually started to take off. So.
Okay, and you keep mentioning your association. For my readers, that's a membership website then?
Well, it's actually a membership website on steroids. it's a membership website, but people don't just become members. They become members, but not just of the website. They become members in something that they believe in. And so they're associating themselves with the other people that belong as well, not just, hey, I'm going to join this membership site to get information. I'm going to join this membership site to belong and because I believe in what these people believe in.
Brilliant. And is there one of the biggest problems with membership websites is keeping members month after month? Has making it an association helped to keep members all the time? And is there anything else you do to keep your members subscribed?
Oh, yeah, Michael. I mean, you just hit the biggest – I mean, that truly is the biggest problem with membership sites, and that's because most membership site owners are doing it completely wrong in the sense that, I'm not going to say they're tricking people, but they're really giving their members no reason to stick around. And I think your typical membership site has a continuity stick rate of – less than 7 or 8 months. And I'm sure that some membership site owners are thinking, oh my gosh, if my people stuck around for 7 or 8 months, I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah.
Whereas with my association, my average stick rate is over 2 years. So it's actually 26 months. Yeah. And the reason that is because it's just what I said before. My people feel like they're a part of something. And they it's something they believe in, and they feel. I mean, and they truly. It's not that they just feel it; they truly do. They belong to a group of like-minded individuals who share a common passion, and there's lots of things that I do on purpose to kind of fan the flames and to fuel that fire. And it actually works brilliantly.
Brilliant. And how would you recommend people to membership website owners to get their members involved and want to do exactly that?
Well, there's the first thing you got to do right is you have to do a good job in your topic selection, and one of the things I've put together, like I mentioned before, and I'll just warn your listeners or your viewers, Michael, is, you know, I actually used to be an engineer, and once you're an engineer, you pretty much are always an engineer. And so I love making flowcharts and spreadsheets and mind maps, and just kind of makes my inner voices quiet down. But one of the things I did when I was tasked with teaching some people how to do this, I created this topic selection flowchart. This thing is, I mean, it is truly foolproof. And I actually give that away in a free ebook that I give out, and I'm sure you'll have links to your members can download that. But you know, making that topic selection is key. But once you get that, let's say that you've gone through that flowchart, you've got a solid topic. There's seven key components that you can inject into your business to cause that belief feeling, that belief factor, to really get elevated. And I mean, I could go through all seven of those. It would take quite a while, but
just give us your favorite, your top one. Yeah.
Okay. My favorite is it's funny when you said the favorite, because I truly do have a favorite.
No, I thought it was going to be a hard one.
Oh, no. My favorite aspect of what I call my tribal formula is to isolate and identify the enemy of your group or your members, okay? Now, here's why that's important, because the psychologically, the human being, it's much easier to rally around and coalesce around something that people have in common that they dislike than that they like. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's brilliant. I like that.
It's no mystery why that's my favorite, because I mean, everybody loves to gather around something they don't like, and so identifying that enemy really helps to congeal that effort. And probably the other big one, I'm gonna give you a little bonus here, I would say probably the other most important one. This is probably the least favorite, but because it's the most work. But any good tribal association needs to have a leader, and invariably that leader is going to be, you know, essentially the entrepreneur, the business owner. You know, you or I, whoever whoever founded this tribe or this association. And to many people, that's a daunting task, and there are many, many people that try to do something like this, but they shy away from that leadership role, and so therefore the association just kind of it never really happens. And it's because of that one simple reason that the owner was not willing to stick their neck out and actually lead, and it's not nearly as difficult as you think it really needs to be. So
no, that's top advice. I couldn't agree more. So I'm sure my listeners are thinking, wow, you know, I got to start my own association, because I'm sure it could take my business through the roof. So could you give us some examples of how people can add an association to their website, or what type of associations are possible?
Sure. Yeah, there's really kind of two different ways to do this. The one way is where you kind of take your business and the business itself, you just rename it and it becomes an association. And the other way to do it is like, if you already have a business that you've invested heavily in the branding or the name of your business. A good friend of mine, Carrie Wilkerson, is a perfect example of this. She came to me and said, "Hey Tim, I want to start an association," and her business was called the Barefoot Executive, which is a fantastic marketing position, and she had a lot of time and energy, and not to mention money, invested in this brand. And you know, we weren't going to call it like the Barefoot Executive Association. That doesn't make any sense. So instead, we made a completely separate entity called the Association of Work at Home Women. Okay, that just so happens the Barefoot Executive owns this association. So there's kind of two separate things, whereas with my business, my magazine just became, you know, it went from just being Concealed Carry Magazine to, I just named it the United States Concealed Carry Association. It's just really as simple as that, just kind of figuring out what sounds good, and you know, I'm a big fan of modeling other people's success, and so just, you know, look around to find an association or organization or a group that's similar to your market, and just kind of model it after that. That usually works quite well.
Brilliant. All right, thanks for that. Okay, the next thing I want to ask you, it made me laugh a lot when you were presenting at Yannick's Mastermind. And quite often, you know, I'm not very good at keeping track of what's going on or listening to what everyone's doing. But you were showing us how you market and make more sales through a few techniques you do. And the one I'm talking about is your broken toe sale. I'd just love you to explain to my readers how you monetized having a broken toe.
Well, it pretty much came down to I broke my toe in a sparring match in Taekwondo, and I was kind of feeling bad for myself because it really hurt. And I mean, it wasn't like my little pinky toe that I just, you know, it was my big toe, and I literally broke it right in half. So I decided just to have a sale, and I got the x-rays from the doctor, and I took a picture of, I mean, anybody that breaks their big toe, your foot swells up to twice its size and it turns all black and blue, and I just used that story that hey, I broke my toe and I'm angry and I'm gonna have a big sale on products. I mean, you really don't have to be too creative in terms of, like, the whole concept of the reason why doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be a reason. Yeah. And so we sold a truckload of products in 7 days, and I felt a lot better about my toe.
I'm sure. All right, so you've explained to us you're quite personal with your marketing and your sales, and even with your website members, because you're the leader. So how would you? A lot of people don't really want to be personal, and they can't sometimes be personal. What would you say to them to make them want to be, and how they can do it?
Well, I mean, that would be a case by case situation. I mean, most people that claim to not want to do it are just, you know, they really don't have a good reason. I mean, it's not like they're a fugitive from the law and they can't do that. I mean, maybe there's two or three people like that, and if that's the case, I would recommend that they create an alias, you know. I mean, the bottom line is that human beings relate the best with other human beings. And you know, human beings don't relate to entities or corporations or you know, giant gleaming buildings. It just doesn't work that way. You're really giving yourself a big handicap if you're not willing to put out a personality front that says, hey, look at me, I'm like you, come and join me, we'll be in this together. I mean, that is such a powerful positioning.
That's brilliant. I like that. All right, thanks for sharing that. And I've got a couple more big questions before I get to our quick fire ones. I understand you have an online store, you've done seminars, you've got your membership website, you did a print magazine, and so much more. And what was your favorite method to make money online, and why?
Holy cow. Oh man, Michael, I would say that my favorite method is selling subscription, like a subscription product with a physical product upsell. And,
nice.
And, you know, a lot of people will say, what? A physical product upsell? Why would you want to go through the hassle of that? Well, here's why. Because, first of all, it's not that difficult to find good fulfillment resources to do it for you. So, you know, it's not like you're going to have to be sitting in your back room putting boxes together. And so few people are willing to go through that hassle that it really sticks. It helps to put you in a much more positive competitive situation because, you know, you're sending out nice physical products where most people aren't. And so it just makes it a much easier positioning standpoint, and people that, if you can sell the subscription, whenever we do an upsell for physical products on our subscriptions, you know, we get like 40 to 45% will go for the upsell. So it's like printing money.
Brilliant. All right, and you did mention earlier that your retention rate's at a crazy 26 months. What does it take for you to keep, 'cause quite a lot of people, you know, they get a member and they won't do really anything much more once they sign up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you offer a lot more content? What do you do to keep giving them more?
Gosh. I mean, the quick answer is we do everything. We do whatever it takes. I mean, we have a very active members only private forum, which, you know, that takes some doing. There's about a half dozen moderators that aren't paid, but we reward them with generous gifts every quarter. And then I have a moderator manager. You know, forums forums can be a little wild animal, but when they're paid forums, they're actually easier to manage. And that's actually awesome, fantastic automatic content generation itself. And the other thing is, you know, we actually send out a physical magazine to our members. Doesn't have to, you know, everybody doesn't have to do a glossy magazine like I do. They can just do a newsletter, but you know, human beings love to receive things in the mail that they like. Okay, nobody, you know, junk mail, sure, just, you know, nobody likes junk mail, but people like to get stuff in the mail. And that's another, it's actually another one of the tribal formula components is called a habit. You know, if you can get your prospect or your member or your customer into the habit of getting something physical from you, it's difficult to give that up. So that's another component. And the other thing we do is we keep a running email dialogue with our members where we're constantly giving more and more and more and more. And I think it just naturally generates this feeling of reciprocity that they just don't want to leave. So,
well, obviously it's working for you, so yes. That's good work. All right, so my last big question here is tribal marketing. Now, you recently done a seminar, and I think you were mentioning to me earlier that you're bringing out some type of product.
Yep. I'm actually putting the finishing touches on my launch sequence for Tim Schmidt's Tribal Formula.
Brilliant. Yeah. And what is, I know a lot of my readers won't even know what tribal marketing is. Do you want to explain briefly what it is?
Well, really, it's just the name I came up with that describes how I transformed my, you know, crappy magazine business into literally an online publishing empire that almost runs by itself with unbelievably long continuity stick rates, and we sell tons of products. So it's really how I implemented the seven key components of building belief in a group of people that transforms them into people that are, instead of just being customers who are focused on products and services, now they're members who are mostly focused on belief and belonging. And
brilliant.
That's it.
And where can my readers pick up this product?
In about 2 days, they'll be able to go to tribalformula.com, and the product won't be available yet. The launch date isn't until July 1st. But they'll be able to get into the sequence. I'm actually releasing some super exciting videos that I do a lot of teaching, and also a lot of crazy stuff on the videos that will make my broken toe sale look like watching Sesame Street. So,
brilliant. All right, so I'll ask my readers. You know, I'm interviewing Tim. Is there anything you want me to ask him? Here's a couple quick questions to ask you from them. How important is passion in your business?
Extremely important.
So every internet entrepreneur, they should go after their passion and not money.
No, that's completely wrong. What they should do is they should go through my you know, go to that site and get the ebook, the free ebook, and I have this flowchart, and the very first thing on the flowchart is passion. The flowchart itself will actually help them select a passionate niche that has profit potential.
Ah,
now you don't. If your passion is, you know, is something that's completely unprofitable, well, then you'd be stupid to go into business doing that because you're probably not going to make any money. But everybody has multiple passions, so I just help people select something that they're passionate enough about that has profit potential, and you'd be amazed at how passionate you can get about something that initially you had a little passion for when you're making a lot of money doing it.
I can imagine. And my other question for my readers is, what changed in your business to jump your sales recently? I know I was looking at your sales page, and I was looking at your profit, and it jumped up from December to January like 100%. How did you take your business up then?
Yeah, that's actually, you know, what I did was I finally gave in and I started delegating. So up until that point, I mean, pretty much the whole operation was a Tim Schmidt show. And starting toward the end of 2008, I finally put on two marketing, I call them my hired guns, and these guys are paid mostly on performance. And I kind of turned over the reins. They don't operate autonomously, but I've given them much more freedom. And as it turns out, they actually are better at a lot of the stuff than I ever was. And,
yeah.
So that's really the main jump right there. So.
Oh, that's good. All right. So you're explaining to us earlier that you were an engineer. How did you take the transition of going from engineer to internet entrepreneur?
How did I take it? How did I do it? Or what do you mean?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's loads of my readers. They're in their 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
I mean, what made you get into being an internet entrepreneur?
Michael, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, and I suspect that your listeners, your readers, probably feel the same way, because people that want to be entrepreneurs usually have always thought about it. And how I made the jump was I tried to do it the traditional way. I tried to, you know, go to the bank and get a loan from a banker. And you know what he did? He laughed in my face. You know, it's funny now, but I'll tell you, it was the worst feeling in my life at the time because I really needed the money. At least I thought I did. But I was creative, and I came up with a way to bootstrap it myself, and I just made it work. And when I started my first business, I had a wife who she had quit her job because we had just had our first baby, and so, you know, I had responsibility all over the place, and it just comes down to you gotta figure out a way to make it happen, and the only difference between an entrepreneur that has success and the one that doesn't is the one that has success is the one that just refuses to accept any excuses. There's always a way to make stuff work.
Brilliant. That is top advice, guys. All right. And quite often we internet entrepreneurs, we get to do what we want a lot of the time. Not all the time, but we get to go off and we don't have the boss, and we've got this thing called the internet lifestyle. I know you've been on some maverick adventures. What is your favorite thing about the internet lifestyle?
Yeah, I hate to sound sappy on you, Michael, but I'm unlike you, and you know, I didn't get my start until I was an old guy, and so, you know, I'm 38 years old. I've got young kids, and for me, the best thing in the world is to go to, you know, I'm the only dad that comes to school every Friday and has lunch with my kids at school. All the kids know me. You know, I think that half the teachers think I'm unemployed. I mean, there's nothing better than, you know, I'm the kid's baseball coach. I'm the Cub Scout guy. I mean, I get to do whatever the heck I want. And I love that. So, at this stage in my life, I love being the dad that I always dreamed about being. It's just unbelievable. And I mean, sure, I love to go on the Maverick, go Baja racing the cars and do all that fun stuff. That's fun as well. I mean, I love doing that too. But for me, just that whole family thing is just unreal.
Wow, I'm glad you shared that with everyone because I'm sure that would inspire a lot of people to get off their ass and actually take action.
Yeah, you know what?
Today.
And it should inspire them, Michael, because they ought to. Amen to that.
Brilliant. All right, I got my quick fire questions to end off this interview, so I'm just gonna throw them at you and give me your first thoughts or answers. All right, so is there anyone that you look up to and model yourself on?
Oh man. I would say Thomas Jefferson.
All right, cool. And what do you like best about the internet?
Oh, the best thing about the internet is that you can the speed at which you can test and roll out and implement. It's awesome.
Brilliant. And what do you least like about the internet?
This is easy. It's way too distracting.
No, oh yeah. I can agree with that one.
The only way I can get stuff done is when I like get myself away from the internet, but everything I'm supposed to do is on the internet.
No, you don't know how much that makes sense to me. That's exactly what I think. All right, and if you could go back in a time machine and start all over again, what would you do differently?
I would put more focus on learning, and as I was learning, I wouldn't question advice from people who have done stuff before me. So that's a fancy way of saying that I mean all the information that I needed to do what I did was in front of me, like within 3 months of my learning process. But Michael, there are some things that it took me 2.5 to 3 years to finally start doing, just because I was bullheaded. Yeah. So.
All right, honesty. And my last question here is, what is the best advice you've ever been given? I'm sure you have a good quote. I'm always seeing you tweet all these great quotes.
The best quote was ever given was by my dad. And he told me that if it is to be, it's up to me.
That's good. I like that. All right. All right, thanks, Tim, very much. Is there anything you'd like to share with us, any plans, personal or business-wise, that you're going to be doing in the near future?
I mean, right now, the sole thing that I'm super excited about is just the launch of my product. And we're having so much fun filming all the videos for this and putting it all together. So I'm really excited about that, and I'm excited about the people that I know are going to be helped by it. So that's probably the biggest thing. My son Tim Jr. is testing for his black belt in Taekwondo this weekend, so I'm pretty pumped about that too.
Hey.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he does well. All right. Thanks very much, Tim, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you, Michael. Take care.